I love to do that. I'm so glad that we are going to be back on, I think, the schedule of doing once a month communion together. So just love to do that. So I wanted to shout out a few things. We had our prayer meeting again this morning, which was so incredible. I love just seeing the saints gathered together, being devoted in prayer, as we saw in the book of Acts as we were going through our vision series. And I wanted to shout out something. I had a conversation with a lady in the church this week, and we were talking about our prayer time, and it really, really encouraged me, so I wanted to share it with you guys. She goes, you know, I was talking about the prayer time. We're going to start doing that. We're just going to keep doing it, be devoted to the Lord, and do it forever, right? We should be praying until the Lord comes back or we go home, right? But she said, you know, I was thinking about this time, and I go, you know, she said, I need to be there because Pat wants me there, right? Pat wants me to pray. Pat wants me to do this. I should want to do this because Pat has told me to. And we're talking, she's sharing this with me, and she said, she got to the point, she goes, no, that's not the thought I should have. She goes, you know, I should want to do this because the Lord has called me to do this. And she started reframing it in her mind, going, you know, the Lord wants us to pray. He wants us to be devoted. He wants us to bring our requests to him. And that just really blessed me. And I hope you know that. As we do these things, and as I lead you and shepherd you, it's not what I want. We're going to do what the Bible has called us to do. And I hope that you have that mindset too. And I want to encourage you, it's not just for volunteers. You are more than welcome to come if you want to get up a little early. Your kids can run around. Right? I hope they can see us praying and being folks that are known for that. So you are always welcome at 9:30. We'll be praying in here. And then just want to say as well, we really want to get better at connecting with everyone. Had a great conversation with the ladies group on Monday, and I think that sort of connection we can do a lot better at. And so guest services out in the lobby, and some people will be in the back with the lanyards on. If you have any questions at all, and if you want to get connected here at the church, go to one of them and they will help you with that. They'll tell you exactly what we have going on, what growth communities we have. That's what they're there. Their heart is to do that for you. Even if it's just praying for you, they want to do that. And so our guest service is out in the lobby. People with the lanyards, please go and see them after the gathering. And then just a reminder, tonight at 5 p.m., we are having our town hall meeting with the elders, all right? So not a scary meeting, not a bad meeting. It's going to be a very encouraging meeting. They're going to come down. They're getting pizza for us, and you should know this. It's going to be Jets tonight, all right? It's not the church special. Not the church special Little Caesars. No, we're getting some Jets tonight, all right? Yep. So... feel free, come tonight. We're going to have a meal with the elders. You'll get to see them, talk with them, get to meet them if you haven't yet. And we're just going to go through the goals for Walled Lake in 2026. And just some exciting things that we have going on. So I would encourage you, please be there at that. Tonight, 5 p.m., we'll be in the auditorium. It'll be an amazing night together. But this week, as I was thinking through this sermon series, we're moving into the foundations of the family, and I got two really back-to-back, really easy sermons, giving and then wives and their roles in the marriage, so really easy, super excited about that. But this week, as I was reading through the passage of Scripture, I started thinking about this comedy sketch scene I've seen before, right? And so it's these two guys, and they're texting each other, and the one guy, he hasn't heard from his friend. He goes, I haven't heard from all day. And so he's reading the text, he's typing, he's angry, and he goes, hey man, you know, I've been trying to get a hold of you all day. Are we still on for tonight? Are we still meeting together? Like, come on, answer me. And the friend gets the text, and he goes, oh, how nice. You know, he's thinking about me reading the text. And he goes, well, you know, hey, I figured we would just, you know, meet at the restaurant. Sorry I missed your text, but, you know, whatever. I don't care. Whatever you want to do. And the text comes in the other guy, and he goes, whatever? I don't care? What is this guy? What's his deal? You know, so he texts him like, whatever, I don't care. Do you even want to hang out with me? Texts it back to him. And the friend gets the text and he goes, oh, how considerate. He asked if I still want to hang out with him. So he texts he's typing back and he goes, like I said, whatever, I don't care. Whatever you want to do. And it just is such a funny little scene for me, but that can happen in texting, right? You think your point is getting across, and it's clearly not, and people are reading it wrong. My mother-in-law, sweet lady, love her to death. She does that all the time. And she'll even send a text, and like my wife and I will read it in the family chat. We're like, she mad at us? And then the follow-up text is, I'm not mad. I'm genuinely asking a question, right? But it's very easy for that to happen. and especially so with the scriptures. It can be very difficult sometimes to interpret the scriptures when we have preconceived notions, presuppositions. We read it in a certain tone, we read it in a certain light without the context, without understanding the words that are in the verses. We can read in some way and get a bad feeling about it and then completely miss what the word is trying to say. And especially so with a topic like the one we're going to look at this morning. If we don't understand the context of it, if we don't understand the words within it, we even may think we know the words, but if we don't truly understand what the text is saying, we're going to miss what God has for us. And my hope, like every week, that as we open the word and as we study this together and as I present it to you, I hope we allow the scriptures to shape our beliefs and not the other way around. I hope that when we give a sermon, whether it's difficult, maybe it challenges you, maybe it challenges a belief you had, that we will have an honest look at the scriptures and go, no, I'm going to allow the Bible to dictate what I believe and not take my beliefs and shape the Bible to that, okay? So let's pray again, and then we will jump into the word this morning. God, we love you, and I just pray for this morning, and I ask that as we study through this and as we think about families, Lord, that you would help us to have eyes to see your scripture, to understand the word that you've given to us through your prophets and apostles. Lord, I ask that you would speak through me, that you get all the glory, and that you would leave us here worshiping you more. So God, we love you, we praise you, and we praise all in the very precious name of Jesus. Amen. So we are in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. So again, I want to encourage you to have a Bible with you. If you don't have one, there are some behind the chairs. We have some at guest services desk. Feel free to go and grab one, take it home, study it. I want you to have Bibles, all right? So if we run out of them here, we'll get some new ones, okay? So have your Bibles. We're in Ephesians chapter 5. You can also follow along on screen. But verse 20 and 21 say this: giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So in these chapters of Ephesians, chapter 5 and 6, the call for submission, you will see, is mentioned three separate times after these verses. So Paul here in these two verses in Ephesians 20:21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then as he continues to go through different relationships that we have, the marriage, the family, he mentions how submission is placed in three different spots. It says, wives, submit to your husbands. Children, submit to your parents. And bondservants, submit to your masters. Now, we won't dive into that last one. We're only focusing on the family this month. But we have three separate times where submission is mentioned. And so to properly understand those calls to submission with wives and with children, we need to understand the context immediately before it. And this is just a very easy tool for you. If you're ever studying the scriptures, if you're ever reading your Bible and you read something and you go, what the heck is that saying? Or if you go, I don't know about this one. I kind of disagree with this. I would always encourage you, read the verses immediately before and after and the chapters immediately before and after. And in this call, it is especially important because all of these calls to submission flow out of verses 20 and 21. Now, it is crucial that we understand clearly what Paul is talking about here in these verses before we move into the wife's role in marriage. And that's why I shared that little funny story at the beginning, right? How texting can just be so misconstrued. Again, even if you're a husband in here, you know it's happened to you before. It happened to me this week. I'm texting my wife about something. I thought I was making my, I was just being very clear in it. And clearly, I was doing a horrible job at that. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm calling her. I'm not even dealing with the text. I'm calling her. I say, babe, I'm sorry. It's my man brain not working again, all right? But it can be very difficult for us to understand the text if we don't get the context here. And what will happen is we run the risk of rejecting truths in the scripture if we don't understand the context of it, clearly understand the meaning. We run the risk of taking portions of scripture and rejecting them. And truthfully, it's why our culture has thrown out marriage roles. It's why we see in our culture there's no design that God had for marriage. There's no authority within the marriage. It's not following biblical marriage, and our culture has thrown it out. And it's done things because they don't understand the text. They don't understand what is being spoken of in this chapter. And they say things like, you know, I don't like what God says about that. I don't like what the Bible says about marriage. I don't like that it says wives submit. So you know what? I'm throwing it out of the way. I don't want anything to do with it. It's where you'll even hear people say, and I've heard it all the time, right? I don't like the words of Paul. I don't like what Paul says in the scriptures. So you know what? I'm not going to follow Paul's writings. I'm going to follow what Jesus says in the Gospels. Again, failing to see that all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for correction, right? But we run the risk if we don't understand clearly what the text is saying, allowing it to make us mad, and then we say, you know what? We don't need it anymore. Again, in our culture, why we see, and a lot of churches pushing this truth that, yeah, homosexuality, marriage is fine. These different roles in marriage is fine. You feel a certain way. Doesn't matter what scripture says. You feel a certain way. So you know what? That is right. Let's just throw out the scriptures that we don't like. When we fail to clearly understand what the text is saying, we run that risk. Now, the understanding of submission here is critical for us this morning because Paul is building his meaning of submission within marriage and for the children and bondservants off of these verses. What he's saying is it's a mutual submission to each other. He says, when we think about the church, like the body of Christ, not the building, not the name, the church, us, those of us who have believed on Jesus, put our faith in him, we are to mutually submit to one another. Now, that doesn't mean you just listen to whatever anyone else says and do exactly what they say and be their servant, but it means we regard them what is higher than ourselves with love, care, respect, right? We lay down our life for our brothers and sisters. We want to build them up, encourage them. It's this mutual submission to each other. And he says, out of reverence for Christ. It's because of our love for Jesus. It's because of out of our respect for Jesus. Because guess what? The church, our brothers and sisters in Christ, the saints, you have been bought with the blood of Christ. You have been bought with the blood of Jesus. You are his. You are no longer your own. You are a new creation. And so we regard each other in this way. We go, you know, Jesus loved you so much, I'm going to love you the same exact way. Out of reverence for Christ. And I think that's why that's so important. When we think about, as we go through the marriage roles within this month, our family month as a church, we need to understand that our interactions with each other, our relationships, and especially our marriages are not separate from our walk with Christ. It is not like you have your own personal faith and then your marriage here and then your children here and they're separate from Jesus. None of this is separate from Jesus, but it is out of the gospel. It is out of putting our faith in Jesus, understanding that God loved us so much, sent his only son to this world, right? As we were talking about in communion, for his body to be broken for us, for his blood to be shed so that we can have forgiveness of sins. It is out of this truth when we surrender to that in total faith, understanding that it is Jesus who makes us new. Jesus, who forgives us of all our sins, gives us a relationship with God. Every aspect of our walk with Christ, and you've probably heard me say this before, and I'm going to say it again, and please don't get tired of it because I'm going to say it every single Sunday. The gospel is the most important thing. Because of that, we build everything off of it. The foundations of the family, the true foundation is Jesus. Every belief we have, everything that we do is built on that foundation. We don't graduate from gospel university and then live our Christian walk. The gospel is everything. And within these foundations of the month, what we're going to see is we're going to keep coming back to the example of Christ. We're not going to seclude them. We're not just going to have a family message and family month that is void of Christ. Everything is going to be built off the gospel, and it's going to be because of Jesus. So with that in mind, continuing on in verses 22 and 23. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. So again, we see this word submit. We need to link it back to the verse we just saw. This willful submission. This submission out of reverence for Christ. It is built off of that argument. Now, I feel it is extremely important, before I get into anything else I say, to note what this verse is not saying. So at any point, if you start going, is Pat saying, this is what I'm not saying and what this verse is not saying. This verse is not saying that the wife is inferior to the husband. This verse is not saying that. Not saying that the wife, I mean, husbands, we know it's usually the other way around, all right? Let's be real. Most of us are playing up a league. But Proverbs 18:22, right? He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Proverbs 31:10, an excellent wife who can find? She is more precious than jewels. And I'm just going to score some brownie points. Husband, maybe you shouldn't hear. That's my wife through and through. I found that good wife. But there ain't nothing about finding a good husband in the scriptures. I looked it up. There's some verses we're going to do. It's find a good wife, right? So that's not what this verse is saying. It's not saying that the wife is inferior at all, right? And even beyond that, we are all made in the image of God. Male and female, right? We are all made in God's image. Every single one of us have the value placed on us because God made us in his image. Right, so there's no inferiority thing going on within these scriptures. Right, it's not saying that the wife is the property of the husband, has no say, and should just be quiet and stay in the kitchen. Not what these verses are saying. And we know it because many, many, quite honestly, dirtbag husbands and pastors have used these verses to oppress women. To demean women. Not going to happen here. And if that's you, I suggest you probably just get on up and leave this church because you're not going to be welcome here if that's the way you're going to use these verses. Not taking them out of context like that. But these verses are showing us a very important truth for our marriages. We need to clearly understand what it is saying then about submitting to the husband. Now, to keep us from falling into that error, what I want to do is I want to, again, call to example Christ, his life. So when we go through these verses, we want to clearly see, right, if it's out of reverence for Christ, how is Christ our example in this? And I think when we see that, it will help us keep us from falling into the error of thinking the wives just need to be quiet, submit to their husbands, have no say, and they're inferior to the male. That is not what it's saying here, right? But to go to the example of Christ, go with me to Philippians chapter 2. I want to look at Jesus' example for us of submission here. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11, is an incredible text. I love it so much. And if I can encourage you, as just a side note, if you want to memorize scripture, you know, it's really good for us to do that. Memorize these verses. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. But just looking at verse 5 really quickly. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So what Paul is doing here is he's writing this chapter in Philippians. He's telling the Philippian church, among yourselves, as followers of Jesus, as believers in what he has done, surrender to the gospel, constantly, continually, have this mind among yourselves. Have the mind of Christ, what he did, his example, his life, his work, on your mind at all times. And so when we, again, we're doing the roles of the marriage, right? Wives, submit to your husbands. Call to mind the example of Christ. And just skipping forward, actually, you know, we're just going to read it. Is that good? Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men,
And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So when we see Jesus there from eternity's past, infinitely God, both fully God and fully man, what do we see in his example? He willingly submitted to the Father's will. Jesus took his privileges, laid them aside, and said, I'm going to follow the Father's will. I'm going to go to the world. I'm going to be the perfect, sinless sacrifice so that the many can be saved. This is the picture of submission that we should see as we read those verses in Ephesians 5. Not the worldly idea of submission, right, of just be inferior to the husband, but the example of Christ. Jesus displayed the perfect picture of what submission should look like. This is what we should call to mind for the role of the wife in the marriage. And not only that, as we take this a step further, no true Christian would ever say, because Jesus humbled himself, submitted to the Father's will, that he was inferior to God the Father. That's a heresy, right? That goes against completely what the Trinity is. The Trinity is they're all co-equal in status, co-eternal, co-beings, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. Equal in status. No one would say that. That when Jesus submitted, that he somehow became inferior to God the Father. That is not what happened. But in the relationship of the Trinity, which if you start to think about, your mind is just going to turn to mush. So don't think about it too much, right? But as you think about the Trinity, in that perfect relationship, before the foundations of the world were laid, this beautiful plan of salvation was conceived. And Jesus, in his love for us, in his desire to glorify the Father, submits to the Father's will. And not only that, as we think about his submission, he did it with joy. Didn't do it with grumbling, but willingly, joyfully submitted to the Father's will. Right? Hebrews 12:2, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. How beautiful is that picture of submission? So when we read that word submit there in Ephesians 5:22, I want you to call to mind the example of Christ, the picture of Christ. And what a beautiful thing it is to follow in Christ's example of submission. What a beautiful thing it is for you, if you are married in here and you're the wife of a husband, how beautiful it is you get to follow in the example of Christ. Willingly, joyfully submit. But as we see too in the Trinity, where the Son is equal to the Father, the same is true for husbands and wives. Co-equal. Neither one has greater value than the other. Co-equal in their value, again, because made in the image of God. And I really love this picture of looking at Christ as the foundation, Christ as our example. Because in Christ, we get the perfect example of how marriage should be set up. Jesus submits to the Father's will, even though he is equal in status, right? That's the wife's role. The wife submitting to the husband as God has called her to, as the scriptures lay out. Again, it may be contrary to the desire. Effects of the fall. As we'll read, you can see in Genesis 3, right? God looks at Eve and says, your desires are going to be contrary to your husband's. But still, joyfully, willingly submits to the husband is what the wife is called to do. Just as Jesus submitted to the Father. Now, husbands, before you get too ahead of yourself, when we look at Jesus' example, what did he do? Not domineering. Not to take advantage of, but Jesus came to serve rather than to be served. In his infinite glory, His eternalness, his all power, all knowing, everywhere at once. What did he do? He washed the feet of the disciples. Finite created creatures, the infinite uncreated God washed the feet of his disciples. And so for husbands, next week we're going to see that's our example. You're placed in that authority, you follow the example of Christ. But that beautiful picture of Jesus, both the submission and the authority. So when we think of submit there for the wife, we call to mind the example of Jesus. That's what we should see when we read the word submit. Not read a word that we already have a preconceived notion of, that we maybe have some bad feelings towards. And I'm going to say this gently too, because some of you might have been in a relationship where it was abused. Maybe it was by a pastor. Maybe it was by your husband. And as I read this, my heart breaks for you. In the same way as we talked about giving last week, so many pastors, so many churches that have abused the text, that have hurt people, that have hurt the bride of Christ. And it breaks my heart. And so for you in here, I just want to pause for a moment and say, I understand how difficult it may be reading those words because of the past hurt. Because of someone that wasn't supposed to take advantage of you did. And so for you in here, if you need to talk at all, if you need to sit down, I'd be happy to. My wife and I would be happy to help you out through that. We want to care for you. So please know, if you have a difficulty with this text, I understand. I would love to sit with you and talk through that and hopefully help heal through that process as we seek to follow what the Bible says. But the next part of this verse that I really want to look at that we understand, so we see, wives, submit to your own husbands. When we see submit, we call to mind the example of Christ. We call to mind how Jesus submitted to the Father's will. The next part, I think, is very, very important. He says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. As to the Lord here is very, very key to understand how this is meant to happen. So there's two dangerous interpretations of those words that I want to address. That if we go down that route, it's going to lead us into misunderstanding the text as I've been harping on this message. The first interpretation that's dangerous is that the husband is meant to be God in the marriage and the wife must submit unquestionably as she does to God. Not what this verse is saying. When it says, as to the Lord, it's not saying that the husband is God in the marriage and that the husband takes the role of God, and then the same way that we submit unquestionably to the infinite, holy, perfect God, that's the husband's role in the marriage. I think we all know where that falls short, right? We could never live up to that role, even a fraction of it. So that is not the call there where the husband is meant to be God in the marriage. The second interpretation that can be very, very misleading or dangerous for us is that the wife is only meant to submit to her husband as long as he does what the Lord wants him to do. There's two caveats to that, and the reason why that can be so dangerous is because in this text, we don't get that classification. The verse doesn't say, wives, submit to your own husbands as long as he's a follower of Christ. As long as he is being the man of God he is supposed to be. Now, in an ideal world, that's what we want, right? That would be the perfect example of it. But that's not given here in the scriptures. So two caveats for that, right? Now, obviously, if it's sin, if he is leading you to reject God and his authority, to go against what the scripture says, you don't submit to that. That you have to put that out there, right? And in situations of abuse and hurt, get out of that marriage, right? We're gonna work with you on that. We don't want you to stay in an abusive where you're getting hurt type thing. Please let us know about that. Like, because even reading through Acts, what do the apostles say? We are gonna obey God rather than men. The example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If man says, bow down and worship to him rather than to God. We're not doing that. Same is true in the marriage for the wives. If the husband is trying to lead into sin, into rejecting God and not following him, you don't submit to that. But that second part, I think, is really clear that there's no exceptions in this verse. And really what that tells me is how serious the marriage covenant is. The marriage covenant is that serious. So first and foremost, if there's any single ladies out here, young adults, students, look for a man worth submitting to. Right? You want to avoid some of these issues. Look for a man who is a man of God, who has that servant's heart as the Lord has. Look for that sort of man that's living biblically, that is going to lead you well, that is worth submitting to as the Bible calls us to. But not only that, how serious the covenant of marriage is. And again, if you've been through divorce, there's care there. There's grace there. Please know that. But the marriage covenant is so important. Because it's not just something we do, we sign a paper, we stand before a pastor and call it good. As we're going to see in just a second, God is the one who instituted marriage. It is God bringing man and woman together, joining them in this beautiful union. And so it's serious. We shouldn't just jump into it, especially as we look at the roles, as we look at how it is meant to be set up, where wives must submit in respect and in love and willingness to their husbands as to the Lord. But I think it's clear, though, with those interpretations, it's important to note, as to the Lord does not describe the extent or limit of the wife's submission, but rather the motive of her submission. When you read as to the Lord, it is the motive of why we are submitting, right? Why the wives are meant to submit to the husbands. Because the truth of this is that this passage of Scripture isn't just something a bunch of old men wrote so that their wives would finally listen to them. It's not just in the time period of the first century Paul wanted to oppress women. In fact, we don't have time this morning, but I'm going to study it. It was revolutionary for the women to have these words in Scripture, to be viewed as not property anymore, but as this beautiful union that God has brought together. And so it's not that. It's not just something a bunch of old men wanted to put in instructions for their wives. It is inspired Scripture. So when we talk of motive, why should I follow this? First and foremost, because it's the Word of God. The Bible is our rule of life. And that means not only when you agree with it, not only when it's easy to follow, but especially when it's hard to follow, hard to understand, hard to agree with. There are plenty of places in the Scripture where I've read them and I've went, I don't know if I fully agree with that right now. It's difficult. And especially as a pastor, when I have to teach it, that's hard. But what I do is I go, I allow the Scripture to shape my mind. The Scripture to shape my beliefs. And in this submission, it is recognizing that there is legitimate authority within the marriage construct. Within the institution of marriage, this submission acknowledges that there's a legitimate authority. Why is it a legitimate authority? Because God's the one that placed it there. That's enough authority we need. If God said this is how it's supposed to be set up, that's what we follow. Because God, not man, is the one who instituted marriage. God is the one that placed that. All the way back to the beginning, when Adam and Eve were first formed, Genesis 2:24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. We don't allow culture to dictate our marriages. We don't allow the times that we live in to dictate our marriages. We don't allow traditional values to dictate our marriages. What do we allow to dictate how our marriages are supposed to be set up? The Word of God. The Bible. So we follow it clearly. We understand what it is saying. We read it within context. And no, God is the one who instituted marriage. If he is the one that has given it to us as a blessing, as not only a blessing, but a beautiful picture of God's love for us. A beautiful picture, as we'll read in just a second, of Christ and the church. If God's the one that instituted this, we follow it that way. And truly for the wife, for you in here who is married, seeking to be married, this is a matter of the Christian life and obedience to the Lord. Not just for your husband, as that's a big part of it. That respect and that lovingness there is very important, but it is about obedience to the Lord. It is a matter of your Christian life for the wife. I read this quote, and I think it helps so well here. It's by Martin Lloyd-Jones. He says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband, because it is part of your duty to the Lord. Because it is an expression of your submission to the Lord. Or wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Do it in this way. Do it as part of your submission to the Lord. In other words, you are not doing it only for the husband. You are doing it primarily for the Lord himself. You are doing it for Christ's sake. You are doing it because you know that he exhorts you to do it, because it is well-pleasing in his sight that you should be doing it. It is part of your Christian behavior. It is part of your discipleship." What a beautiful way to describe that there. But then verse 24. "Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husband." I love that verse because what we see in the marriage is that it's not about this fairy tale love that we see in Disney movies. Although we all want that. I hope you have that. But it's so much deeper, so much better, so much more important than that. It is meant to be an example, a picture to the world of the relationship between Christ and his church. We are meant to reflect Christ's love for us in our marriage. Christ's love for his church and his people in our marriage. Like I said, we don't separate our marriages from our walk with Christ. It's another avenue for us to display the beauty and the amazingness of who Christ is. It's something my wife and I talked about before we got married. We said, we want our marriage to be a picture of Christ in every way. We want to be that example where, yes, we have love for each other, but it's built on the foundation of Christ and is meant to reflect his love to the world. So our marriage, as the world sees it, and as we'll talk about in a few weeks, how our kids see it, should be this example of how Christ loved us. How Jesus, for me, right, Jesus laid life down for the bride. So me as a husband, I lay my life down for my wife, my kids, my family. But then another picture of how the church submits to Christ. So she, in respect and willingness and joy in her relationship with the Lord, submits to me to be that example and that picture of Christ and his church. Does that mean we always agree? Absolutely. We don't have any issues. No. Does that mean she never speaks up? No. Does that mean I'm always right? Yes. No, couldn't even hold that lie. You guys know it. But does that mean she is meant to blindly follow me if I'm leading our family into sin? Absolutely not. I hope for you in here as the wife, I hope that you're strong in your faith to be able to speak up in that situation, to be able to help lead your family in that way if it is leading into sin. And that's hard. And there's going to be times where You don't know how you're going to say that. But as a follower of Christ, that's that line, right? If it's going into sin. But it is this reverential thing that she does because she has been born again by the gospel. And it's amazing. Because it's not about her desires or wants. She wants all of her life to be following Jesus and following his words. And so if the word says submit in respect and in joy and willingness, she does it. Because the Lord has called her to do it and because she wants to display Christ. Something that I hope to see here as we start to wrap up. I hope that here in Walled Lake, especially because this is a difficult topic, this is hard. It's hard sometimes to live this out. And maybe you're in a marriage where that submission, you don't feel like it can happen. I get that. And again, I'm more than happy to talk with you. Please know my heart that you are always welcome to come and talk with me and share these concerns. But truthfully, what I hope to see here is that for a lot of the younger moms and wives in our location, that they would be discipled by some of our more seasoned wives and moms. I didn't say older. But I hope that that discipleship would happen. Because that's difficult for a young marriage. It's difficult for a young mom. And I hope that for some of you faithful saints that have been following the Lord for so long, who've been loving your husbands, be that example to the next generation that's coming up. Be that example as we have more young couples come into our location who need to be led, who need to be discipled. And go to a young mom, go to a young wife and say, can I help you in this? I know it's difficult, been through it. Because the truth is, the stronger marriages we have in the church, the stronger family units will be. And the more children will be discipled by their main disciplers, their parents. And the more we will see committed, faithful people following the Lord. Truthfully, if our families got serious about this commitment to the Lord in the marriage roles and how they raise their kids, we, if we do that, because let's be real, our marriage is our first ministry. For me as pastor, my first ministry is not this flock, it's my wife. So for your husbands in here, your wives in here, your first ministry is to your spouse. If we take care of that, and the families here in the church are strengthened, we will see our church strengthen and grow alongside with it. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We just thank you so much for this opportunity to praise your name, to read your word, to be challenged by it, encouraged by it, strengthened by it. And Lord, I just ask this morning that as we have dove into a difficult topic, I pray that your spirit would give us an understanding of your scripture. Pray that your spirit would lead us to submit to your word. And that you would help our marriages to resemble what the biblical call is meant to be. God, I also want to lift up, maybe there's some wives in here, some women who have been hurt. Maybe are in a marriage where it's hurting. I just want to pray protection for them. And I hope that you give them the courage to know that this is a safe space here. And that if they need to be loved, if they need to be guided, if they need to be helped, they can find it here, not just with me or my wife, but with the other faithful saints in this location. Lord, bring healing and restoration where it is needed. Bring correction where it is needed and encouragement where it is needed. We love you, God. We pray this all in the very precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.